starts living in the gift of the divine will, she has to grow in the virtues. She has to acquire all this teaching, all this training that the Lord gives to her throughout the years. And I wanted to start with the Ten Commandments because we have to have this foundation. It's the moral foundation for us. It's the spiritual foundation for all of us to depart from there, and from there ask our Lord to give us this gift. So I'm going to ask Juanita if she can read from Exodus 20, and I will ask you where to stop, Juanita. Basically from 1 to 6, if you can read, please. Are you on mute? You need to unmute yourself.
Unmute yourself at the bottom.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Chapter 20 of Exodus. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. The Ten Commandments. Then God delivered all these commandments. I, the Lord, am your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that place of slavery. You shall not have other gods besides me. You shall not carve idols for yourselves in the shape of anything in the sky above or on the earth below or in the waters beneath the earth. You shall not bow down before them or worship them. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, inflicting punishment for their father's wickedness on the children of those who hate me, down to the third and fourth generation, but bestowing mercy down to the thousandth generation on the children of those who love me and keep my commandments.
Can you read the next one also? 7.
Okay, 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave unpunished him who takes his name in vain.
And then 8, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So today we are going to try to cover all that. Last week we talked about the first commandment, and we are going to continue with that, and we are going to try to reach till the third commandment. Just to let you know that the first three commandments, they are the commandments of the Lord that tell us how we are to relate with God, how we are to relate with our Heavenly Father. And the rest from 4 to 10, then they tell us how to relate with each other, with our neighbor. So let's continue with what we were talking about last week. The Lord tells Moses, I am the Lord your God, and the people of Israel should know that I am the Lord your God, and that you should not have other gods besides me, that I'm a jealous God. And when we encounter this in relation with the book of heaven, it is very easy to understand, for example, the rounds of creation in relation with the Ten Commandments. In the book of heaven, with the rounds of creation, the Lord tells Luisa Picarreta, see, I have created everything. Look at the sky. Look at the sea. Look at the stars. And then from there, you use the language. I praise you. I adore you. I glorify you. I thank you. So in the Ten Commandments, God tells us, I am the Lord your God. So in the light of the sun, God is telling us, I am the Lord your God. In the vastness of the sea, when you see the sea, God is telling you, I am the Lord your God who created this out of love for you. When you see the wonders in creation, God is telling us, I am the Lord your God who created this out of love for you. in the things we have. Hear the voice of God saying, I am the Lord your God who gave you this gift, who gave you this ability. I am the Lord your God who gives you health. I am the Lord your God who calls you to be in union with me. With the people of Israel, since they were so merged in the culture of Egypt, where they have so many pagan gods, so many different gods, God needed to purify them and to bring them out of that slavery that they were in, so that they will recognize that he was the only and the true God. We are not in that place anymore because we know the true faith. We know the gospel. But still, there is something in our hearts, in our souls, that keeps us from receiving this gift, because the more we depart from the moral law, from the divine law, that is an impediment for us to receive such a great gift, since the Lord calls this the greatest gift that he can bestow upon the people. So if this is the greatest gift that he can bestow upon the soul needs to make preparations to receive this gift. And the way we make preparations is in relation with the teachings of the church, with the seven sacraments, specifically with the sacrament of confession. In there, we clean our soul. How we clean our soul? By going through the Ten Commandments and getting rid of all the things that they keep us from making God the center of our life. So when God tells the people of Israel, I am the Lord your God. I brought you out from the land of Egypt. I brought you out from the land of slavery. You should remember that I am the Lord. And you should remember that without me, you cannot advance. When the people of Israel, they were in the desert, trying to advance to the promised land, the Lord tells them, if you obey my commandments, you will see that. And in the chapter that we read in Exodus 20, in there, we see that the Lord says that his generosity for those who follow the divine law, the Ten Commandments, reaches up to the thousand generations, up to the thousand generations. But for those who disobey the law, the punishment will go down to the third and fourth generation. So again, if we want to receive this gift of living in the divine will, we need to have this foundation. We need to remove everything that is contrary to the Ten Commandments. Right now, we are going to focus only in the first three. But later on, we will talk about the other commandments. And in there, we will find a lot of problems that in modern society is trying to just push all these things and to kind of like pacify our souls. And this is an impediment. We who know the gift that is being offered to us through the writings of Luisa Picarreta, at least we who know this and who strive to possess this gift, we need to have in our minds always this, the divine law. So in the same way that you, probably some of you have in your doors, you know, every day that you have these little notes inviting the divine will to breathe in you, in your actions during the day, you should have the Ten Commandments posted in your door or somewhere that you can see them every day. Because remember, the Ten Commandments, they express God's will for us, is the will of God for us. And without doing the will of God that is expressed in the Ten Commandments, we cannot jump, we cannot ascend to living in His will. We cannot ascend from doing into living if we don't have the first foundation. So one cannot just jump into living. You don't have the foundation of doing. In theology, we say that theology is organic, means that it builds upon the teachings. So in these Ten Commandments, we see basically the very foundations for all the spiritualities. We see the foundation for every spirituality that you see in the church. When our Lord Jesus is forming Luisa Picarreta, of course, she knows the Ten Commandments. And she is prostrated in bed. So she needs to grow now in virtue. She knows the doctrine. And our Lord trains her into virtue. When we live in the divine will, when somebody is living in the divine will, all the virtues flourish. They are all exercised by living in the divine will with every single act. Let me explain to you something. When somebody is not patient, and somebody has not the gift of patience and encounters the opportunity to exercise that virtue, then that person, if the person enlightens his or her will to exercise that virtue, then he will grow. So it's like a muscle. That at that moment, when the moment arrives to exercise a particular virtue, that virtue grows at that moment. But when somebody is living in the divine will, the virtues, they flourish with every single act, because they all receive the strength that comes from that single act that is united to the will of God. Every time that we encounter the possibility, the opportunity to be faithful to the law or to break the law, we receive the strength. If we make the right choice, if we make the right decision, then we receive the strength that comes from that action. So if you go to the bank and the bank, they give you more money than what you should receive. Let's say you go and you cash a check and you find out they give you more. Right at that moment, you remember, you shall not steal, right? So you go back and you say, excuse me, you gave me more money than what I should have received. This is more. Then at that moment, with that action, you will receive the strength, the grace that comes from that decision, because you move your will to do that act. You will grow in virtue. You will become more honest. So next time that you encounter another possibility or opportunity like that, it will be easier for you to make the right choice, to make the right decision. So you are growing with every single act. Every time you exercise yourself in the law, you grow in virtue. You become more righteous, more honest. If you live in the divine will with this gift, all that you do, all the virtues, with every single act, all the virtues will receive strength just by possessing that gift. And when the moment arrives to exercise a particular virtue, to exercise a particular commandment, then you will receive the redouble of graces, because it will be already in you. You will receive even more strength because you arrive at the moment and with the strength that you already have with all the acts that you do, that decision will be fortified, so you will advance in holiness, in perfection. So see, the divine law, the Ten Commandments, they lead us into what we have to arrive. We have to arrive to the life of holiness. Particularly in our case, we want to arrive to the point of possessing this gift that we read in the Book of Heaven. So what do we need to do to make preparations in our souls to receive this gift? In the first volume of the Book of Heaven, our Lord Jesus is forming, Luisa Picarreta is just the beginning of the volumes. And in there, our Lord Jesus really tells Luisa Picarreta just the basics. And one of the things that it is very important for us to keep in mind is that our Lord Jesus says, I want you to be upright in everything that you do. In other words, I want you to be honest. I don't want you to be in sin. In everything you do, you look at me with one eye, he says. With one eye, you look at me, and with the other, you look at what you are doing or about to do, and you see if that will please me. So we can use that advice that our Lord Jesus tells Luisa Picarreta to grow in the knowledge of the divine law using the Ten Commandments so that we can grow in the gift of living in the divine will. So every time that you do an act, or every time that you find a temptation, you look at the divine law and you say, will God be pleased with me if I do this? You check the Ten Commandments. And this basically will guide you to make all kinds of decisions, moral decisions, very basic decisions, difficult decisions, because that's the law of God. Later on, we will meditate in the other commandments. But right now, just by looking at these commandments, we know that we should not be supporting anything that goes against the Ten Commandments. Anything. You look at, when somebody asks you to do something, you look at the Ten Commandments, and there you find your answers. Then at that moment, you will grow in virtue. You are preparing your soul. And as you read the Book of Heaven, you will advance so that you may possess this gift. The divine law makes us wise. Wisdom, what is wisdom? Wisdom is a gift that we receive from the Holy Spirit. But wisdom is also knowing good from wrong and then inclining our will to do good. So at the moment we decide, we move our will to do good, we become wise. And then wisdom grows in us. Barbara, are you there? Barbara?
I'm trying to unmute. Yes, Father.
Okay, can you read Sirach 15, verse 1. That's another passage from sacred scripture.
So the man who fears the Lord will do this.
That's Psalm 1. Okay, let's go to Psalm 1.
Oh, Psalm 1? Okay. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord.
Okay, that's his delight is in the law of the Lord. And the law of the Lord is the Ten Commandments, right? Now let's go to Sirach 15, verse 1.
Sirach 15. The man who fears the Lord will do this, and he who holds to the law will obtain wisdom.
He who holds to the law will obtain wisdom. Again, in looking at the Ten Commandments, right, and moving our will to obey them, we will obtain wisdom. So in reality, there should be no reason for us not to make the right decisions when we come and we find difficult situations. Because you just align yourself to the divine law and make your decisions through that. It requires the action of the human will. Because remember, God gives us freedom. And that freedom is found between the person and God. So imagine that you are before God. And God is telling you, come, do my will. But he doesn't force you. So the freedom is found between you and God. And when you move your will to incline your will yourself towards God, then you follow his law, you unite yourself to his will. But when we possess this gift of living in the divine will, once you possess the gift of the divine will, it will be much easier. But again, the foundation of our soul, everybody should have this foundation because it's the moral law. It's the moral law, and the moral law leads us to obedience to God. Obedience to God leads us into growing in faith and virtue. Growing in faith and virtue leads us towards justice, prudence, strength, all the other virtues, the cardinal virtues. And by growing in the virtues, we become more like God. We grow in his likeness. We grow into holiness. And the goal is to arrive to the point of possessing this, this gift. So again, every time that you see, you know, you see the sun, you see the stars, you see the moon. Yes, hear the voice of God saying, I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God. In the same way that you practice the rounds of creation, that you say, I love you. I adore you. I praise you. I thank you with your will in the sun, in the stars, in the sea, in the sky. Then you recognize God and you say, yes, Lord, you are my God. And I love you with the light of the sun. Yes, Lord, you are my God. And I enthrone you in my heart and my soul. So it's a way also to practice the rounds and to use them with the Ten Commandments. You know, in the Old Testament, the people of God, they carry with them these Ten Commandments in the Ark. It was a very special place, and they also carried there the manna that they had to save for the next day. And some of the robes of the priest Aaron. And in that ark, in which they placed the Ten Commandments, they saw the presence of God. We have to enthrone the Ten Commandments in our soul. This gift of living in divine will is enthroned in the soul too. Because in the soul, we find our free will. And the will produces acts. So the acts that are united with the will of God, they become sanctified acts. If the presence of God is in our souls, then every single act that this produces, it becomes a sanctifying act, right? But if God is not in that soul, and if we say, come divine will, come divine will, come divine will, come divine will, but God is not, I mean, in every soul, by virtue of our baptism, God is there, right? So I don't want you to misunderstand me. By virtue of our baptism, we become temples of the Holy Spirit and the indwelling place of the Blessed Trinity. So God is there. The Holy Spirit is there. But when we are not in the state of grace, He is not free. The Holy Spirit is not free to do in us. He is restrained and constrained. When the soul is not in the state of grace, those acts, right? They don't have the power to be elevated. And when they are not good acts, instead of giving to God, they offend God. So by laying the foundation and enthroning the divine law in our souls and aligning our will to the divine law, the Ten Commandments, we are already on the road to acquire this gift by reading also the Book of Heaven. Because now, by uniting your acts in the divine will, they become sanctifying acts. And every single sanctifying act that your soul produces is asking for this gift to be given to you. So the Lord also, you know, tells us, you shall not use my name in vain. If we are not using this commandment in relation with the divine will, with the gift of the divine will, if we say, come divine will, come divine will, come divine will, but we are not in the state of grace, we are asking this in vain. We are calling the name of the Lord in vain. In vain is to call this gift if we know that we are not walking the Ten Commandments. The Lord says in other part of Sacred Scripture, not everybody who says, Lord, 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 will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not everybody who says, come divine will, come divine will, come divine will, come divine will possess this gift. If we have fallen into sin, we have the sacrament of confession. That's the remedy. We have to wash our soul with the tears of repentance and to let the Lord bestow upon us his forgiveness through the absolution, through the sacrament of confession. And we really have to believe in that power of the sacrament, that it has the power to forgive us, and that if we have fall into sin, he has the power to lift us up, to take us out of that situation. So when we recognize that we have offended the Lord, we should use the sacrament of confession, go to him. The Lord also in the book of heaven, in the first volume, he tells us about this. I think last week somebody asked me about the sacrament of confession. And this is what the Lord says in the first volume of the book of heaven concerning the sacrament of confession. He says, when a soul has humbled herself, being convinced of having done wrong, and has cleansed her soul in the sacrament of confession, and is ready to die rather than to offend me, it is an affront of my mercy. It is a hindrance to drawing her close to my love if she remembers her sins. So in other words, if you have sin and you confess your sin in the sacrament of confession, then you should not be wondering, well, did God really forgive me? Because he says that is an affront. Then you don't believe that I'm really merciful enough to forgive you. How do we make a good confession? By going through the Ten Commandments. And that's a very effective, that's a very effective confession when we go through the Ten Commandments. I assure you, the priest will be very happy if you go through the Ten Commandments. You can go to confession in 5 minutes. Because sometimes, you know, people, it's not that they don't know how to confess. It's just like it is difficult for them. But if you use the Ten Commandments as your guidance, it will be much easier for you. You will really receive the effect of the sacrament because you went through the process and you tried to do your best to get rid of every sin. So I encourage all of you really to know the Ten Commandments, and all of you who have children or grandchildren, just teach this to your children, your grandchildren. Have them on your door. Get a plate of the Ten Commandments, and look at them and see every time you look at them, think that that's the will of God for you. That in there, you hear the fatherly voice, the paternal voice of God that says, I love you. You should have no other God. I love you. You should not use my name in vain. I love you. You should keep the day of the Lord, my day, holy. So this is the third commandment, to keep the day of the Lord holy. How do we keep the day of the Lord holy? In the Old Testament, it was the Sabbath and Saturday, right? But because Jesus, the resurrection, right? We honor the day of the resurrection, which is greater because Jesus broke the chains of sin and make everything anew. So on Sunday, we go to Mass. We try to give to God what is due to God, right? It's part of being just. Remember, the Lord says to Luisa Picaretta, I want you to be upright. One eye looking at the law and the other eye looking at what you are doing. One eye looking at me and the other eye looking at what you are doing. So it is right. It is just to give to God what is due to God. Why? Because if he made us, he created us out of love, not because he needs us, but because he loves us, and he created all that there is out of love for us. He created the moon, the stars, everything, the sun, the sea, the skies, every single breath that we take, he created out of love for us. So he loves us. And because he loves us, he wants to enjoy us. He wants to have time to enjoy you in prayer, that you come and you worship and you give thanks. Other days you use them to do your things, to be busy. But when you honor the day of the Lord, then you give yourself to God. You let him enjoy you in prayer, in adoration, in receiving him in the Eucharist, in hearing his word, in the gospel, in the liturgy. Other days you have for yourself. But Sunday, sanctify the day of the Lord. How? Well, go to Mass. Then spend the rest of the day nourishing your spiritual life. Because that day is to enjoy God and what he gave you. So if you are a husband, spend time with your wife. Be a husband. Be a father. Spend time with your children. Be a father. Enjoy your children. Enjoy the presence with your family. If you are a mother, enjoy your time with your husband, with your children. Be a mother. And let God enjoy you just by you being a mother. Right? Other days you have for yourself. But make the day of the Lord holy by being what he calls you to be. You know, we priests on Sunday, we are very busy because we are celebrating the liturgy. And in that day, we give. Right? Praise to God, but we also enjoy ourselves because in fulfilling our vocation, we give ourselves to God. Imagine a priest who on Sunday doesn't celebrate Mass. It's terrible. Right? So by obeying, by following our vocation, we honor the day. We nourish our vocation. We let God enjoy us as his children. So again, how do you honor the day of the Lord? It's by being a father, by being a mother. You are a daughter, you are a son. Spend time with your family, with your parents, grandparents. You don't have them with you, call them. You don't have them with you anymore, pray for them. And on Sunday, even, you know, the little things, to honor the Lord through the little things, you know. Some people, they have this habit already of, on Sunday, not doing laundry. You know, everything rests on Sunday. Even the machines as a way to give honor to God, you know. So if you have a lawnmower, then don't have that, your lawnmower work on Sunday. So try to Try to honor the Lord, yes, in everything you do, and you will see how he will bless you, because he promises that he will bless you up to the 1,000 generations if you obey his law, up to the 1,000 generations, right? Who doesn't want to have these blessings upon the children and grandchildren? No? I want to have all these blessings upon my spiritual children, my parishioners, and all of you. So we have to do the best we can. And again, this will make us honest, because we are giving to God what is due to God. And remember, justice is one of the cardinal virtues. So I want you to really make some notes, because by following the third commandment, right, you, in a way, acquire the cardinal virtue of justice, because you give to God what is due to God. You honor the Sabbath. By loving God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, by honoring God, you become just. You grow in the virtue of justice, because you are giving to God what is due to God. By obeying the law and being obedient, you grow in the virtue of humility, because you submit yourself to the divine law. See how this all makes sense? I hope it does, that through the Ten Commandments, we can grow in the life of virtue. And once we walk on this path and reading the Book of Heaven, we will see that everything will come together, and it will be easier. And now with every single act that you do, that you call, you will be growing in holiness. Holiness that is the universal call for everybody. So we use this path, we use this formula, if you wish, to arrive to the possession of the gift of living in the divine will. So I think we went over time. We were supposed to be only like 30 minutes or 45 minutes, but we have,
do you have time for questions?
You too.